RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So, unfortunately, we are still in summer hiatus. I know, it just seems to be going on and on and on, but we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. There is, I don't think there's been a week gone by this summer so far, Josh, that hasn't had some kind of Arrow news.
No, I agree with you completely. It is completely interrupting my parkour training.
You getting pretty good running up the wall?
Well, that's the thing. This news keeps interrupting. I barely get up out of the chair before I have to check the internet. So,
I gotcha.
So I haven't quite made it to the wall.
Have you thought about just like turning off your computer?
What now?
Okay, well, yeah. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, well, I have to contemplate these things as I'm sitting down to a delicious dinner of salmon ladder. So.
Salmon ladder, okay, it goes good with your it's good for your abs, I guess.
Yes, it's so. Stretching them good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just there's. I am so excited about next season. There's all these little nuggets that have been, I won't even say leaked. They've just been teased out. We will be going into what some people may consider spoiler territory in this episode. So if you guys are really concerned about like the name of the first episode of season three is called, or what actors have been cast or what characters have been teased for coming up at some point in the season, then you guys may want to sit this episode out. But in the meantime, let's get on with our summer special number 5.
Yeah. Hey, before you turn this episode off, might I say, the season is going to be great no matter what you know about ahead of time. So, it's kind of fun to sit back and enjoy some of this hype. So, hey, join in with us. I'm okay with that. But some people don't like that. I know. So I won't go on about it. But I'm okay with spoilers sometimes.
All right. So let's get into the news we've got here for what's going on coming with Season 3. So just as a reminder, I think we talked about this, Josh, on our Summer Special 4 last month. But Season 3 will premiere on October 8th. And that'll be the day after Flash premieres, so that should be exciting. I don't know if it was mentioned in that particular story that we have linked here in our show notes, but there will be 23 episodes in Season 3, just like in Season 1 and Season 2. I believe Stephen Amell had tweeted that or put it on Facebook at one point.
And all then, righty.
Hmm?
I said, all right, no bonus episodes this season, but at least they're not cutting back.
Yeah, it's good that, you think they just kind of want to do an even number, like 22 or something like that. So I'm very excited to, know that we're getting 23, hopefully we'll get some longer stretches here. And I wouldn't mind if they, would go for 8 episodes at a time before they take a break or something like that.
Yeah, they'll probably take that winter hiatus that they tend to do these days, so.
Yeah, which ends up being about 4 or 5 weeks, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then Season 2 Blu-ray, DVD, Ultraviolet, 9-disc set will be out on September 16th. And so we've had a chance to look over the artwork on the cover. Very interesting point that you pointed out here. You said, where is Sarah?
Yeah, there's no Sarah. I was really surprised.
She was pretty key in the season. You would think she'd be focused on that.
Especially the second half, if I'm remembering right.
Was she on the... I'm trying to remember if she was on that season 2 poster. because I don't think she was on that. I think this artwork is based on that.
Yeah,
poster.
Me too, which I talked about last time, I think, how I kind of would love to see some original stuff. But it is a cool picture. Another curious thing about this, and I just happened to come across this as I was looking on Amazon, and you know how they'll zoom in the little thumbnail of whatever you're buying, you know?
What were you zooming in on?
Well, it just happened to be, just by coincidence, was on Felicity's legs. No, honey, I promise. It was just a coincidence. I swear.
Coincidence.
Anyway, she's got some ultra high heels on.
Yeah.
Felicity is wearing some really high heels in that. And she has no glasses on.
She's done that a couple times, but she usually is wearing glasses. So.
It just didn't look like Felicity to me. I mean, I could tell it was her, but it didn't feel like, it felt more like a, what was that shot back in the 80s that used to do, like fancy pictures of you, like glamour.
Oh, glamour shots?
Yeah, glamour shots. They still have that? Is that still open?
The mall may still have one of those. Yeah, I don't know.
That's where they were. So, but anyway, it just kind of looked like, you know, like a publicity shot of the actress. But still not complaining. So it's still Felicity.
Yeah. So that's cool. So check that out. So you can get a, you know, DVD version, or you can get the Blu-ray/DVD/Ultraviolet version to go with your season one. And it looks like, you know, there's a ton of extras on that. We talked about that last month. So just check out the coverage there. Okay, so the Emmy Awards, the nominations for the Emmy Awards, I guess I should say, came out. And as ZapToIt.com points out, the Emmy Awards apparently are completely brain damaged and don't give Arrow a stunt nomination.
Yeah, what? Really?
So this is for the category Outstanding Stunt Coordination for a Drama Series, Miniseries, or Movie. So you might think, well, okay, so they're up against competition that of miniseries and TV movies. But I mean,
okay.
Like,
I'm not one to like hate on things, you know, and I don't just badmouth a bunch of things I see on the internet. And to be fair, the other nominees on this on the list that actually are nominated, I have not seen all of them.
Okay.
I think I've only seen Game of Thrones. Actually, okay. So I can't compare those. But it just blows me away that Arrow would not be nominated with the quality of stunts that they had.
So there's six shows that were nominated, and you gotta. I would really make it a difficult proposition here for anybody to hate Stephen Amell, because you know I'm sure there are a lot of stars from shows that, you know, they get dissed for something, and they would just come around and they would say something snarky or, you know, backhanded on social media. So Mr. Stephen Amell comes out and says, instead of getting mad that Arrow wasn't even nominated for Outstanding Stunt Coordination at the Emmys this year, I think we'll just go on producing the best action on television for a third consecutive year. I mean, you know, he knows he's doing something. Yes,
amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
He knows he's doing something great. They all know they're doing something great. They're having fun doing it. And, you know, that's his candor. But let's look at what was nominated. So you said out of this list of six, you've only seen one of the shows. I've seen three of them, and out of the three that I've seen, I'd give maybe two of them. I'd put two of them on this list. Now I wasn't. These aren't necessarily ones that I've watched this season. But anyway, one was the Blacklist.
And this is just based on stunts,
right? This is just the stunts for these shows. Like, how good are the stunts? The Blacklist was nominated. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, Grimm, Hawaii 5-0, Revolution, and True Blood. So I've seen Grimm and Hawaii 5-0. And Hawaii 5-0 and Game of Thrones, I've seen Game of Thrones as well. But I'd put Hawaii 5-0 and Game of Thrones on there. But it's a different level of stunts. I mean, I don't know. Revolution, you know, not so much. I don't know. Arrow is kind of in a class by itself, it seems like, when it comes to the stunts.
Yeah, I agree. They're choreographed without looking choreographed. They're different each time.
And they're filmed in a way that makes them understandable to the viewer and edited in such a way that it doesn't, I would say probably 95% of the time, it does not confuse you as to what's going on.
Yeah, more so than a lot of movies that are out these days. Mm-hmm. They'll do a lot of shaky camera, a lot of close-ups that makes it really hard to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And Arrow is very much not like that.
Right, right.
But, so. But hey, you know what? That's I generally like award shows. I think it's interesting, you know, and it is people honoring a bunch of other people who work really hard and deserve something, but not everything can get what they deserve. So I appreciate Stephen Amell's sentiment.
Well, and the fact that they, you know, CW believes in them to give them a third season, right? I mean, that's kind of your reward for doing a good job on your show. I mean, yeah, I'm sure it's a pleasure to be nominated and it's great to win, but you're doing your show and you get rewarded for doing a good show by getting another season. I think that's
you know,
good.
And I agree with that. And on top of that, just for Stephen Amell specifically, I can't speak about the other, you know, actors and stunt people and stuff on the show, but it feels to me as if the appreciation of the fans gives him so much is such an honor to him to mm-hmm. be doing it that I think he puts his all into it. I mean, he just throws himself in there and really does everything he can possibly and physically do.
Yeah.
He posted a picture of himself the other day where he had to have an IV because he had he'd been on set and working so hard they had to give him an IV. So,
wow,
there you go. See, he's giving it his all.
He is giving it his all. Yeah, you know what else is he going to do right now? You know, so
sell wine,
right? All right, so we've got some. Let's see, I'm going to go down to our comic book story here, and then we'll get into the cast information here, I think.
All right.
Sounds good. So, yeah. Arrow and The Flash both have been given at what DC is calling a digital-first comic series. There are a lot of comics that are being made digitally right now. Marvel's got some that they do called Infinite Comics. DC's got a program via Comixology, I guess, that every day there is a new digital comic. It's called, I think they're digital first as well. I think that's what it's called. Like there's a Batman 1966 series that, like every Tuesday, you know, a new 12 page digital comic comes out for 99 cents, and then after like 5 or 6 months or something like that, they collect them into physical printed, you know, comic books and stuff like that. So people who you know, don't do digital stuff can get them as well. So they are going to do one for Arrow, and they're also going to do one for The Flash to get everybody ready for season 3 here for Arrow. And they're going to debut on Monday, September 1st, and Monday, September 8th. So September 1st would be Arrow, and September 8th would be The Flash. And the comics are going to tie in closely to the TV shows that they're connected with. I was really missing the fact that they didn't have the digital comics during Season 2 like they did with Season 1. I thought they were nice little... Because the Season 1 digital comics, and I don't know, had you had a chance to ever read those? Did you get those?
The digital ones?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a few of them early on.
Okay.
And I really liked them. I liked the way they tied into everything in the show.
Well, they were written by the writers and the producers of the show, and they followed the characters and, you know, would tell you, like, what happened in between episodes or follow up on a point that was made in an episode that they wanted to explore a little bit further. It was really kind of cool. So they didn't do that for Season 2. They just did that for Season 1. I think there were like 35 or 36 digital issues that came out. You can find them collected in a print collection of, I don't know, like 8 or 9 physical comics. So these new ones are also going to be written by the writers for the shows and take place in between the episodes. Executive producer Mark Guggenheim and staff writer Kedo Shimizu are going to be co-writing what's going to be called Arrow Season 2.5. And the digital comic there will take the story from the end of Season 2 right up to the beginning of Season 3, which will be, what, 5 or 6 months, I guess, based on, you know, kind of the real-time quotient that they seem to follow on this show.
Right.
It's going to, let's see, addresses Detective Lane and other questions. Detective Lane.
I think that might be a typo. Detective Lance, I would think.
I was going to say, yeah, is this, you probably just pulled this from the press release, right? So that should be Lance. Okay. So, right, because so we remember that he had sort of a coughing fit and was spitting up blood because he probably had ruptured some internal organs there at the end of Season 2. The episode or the issues are also going to introduce characters for Season 3. And then Brooke Elkmeyer and Catherine Walczak will write Flash Season 0, which features characters that will not be on TV. So that should be pretty cool. And no,
I like the title of that. That's Season 0. That harkens back to
It's kind of like the
comics.
Yeah, they you know, a lot of comics are doing issue zeros, issue one halves, and stuff like that. Issues point ones. So it's kind of their way to, you know, chronologically before Season 1, it's Season 0. So that makes sense. No word on pricing, but I would guess if these follow the same kind of digital... Well, I guess it depends on how big they are, but they're probably going to be anywhere from 99 cents to, I would say, maybe $2.99 tops. Digital stuff usually is a little bit cheaper than it would be if it was in print. So,
know, and I'm not, not trying to put you on the spot here, but I didn't... type this in here. Do you know what do you recommend as far as how to get those, how to download those? Is there a better method than others that you've come across?
Depending on what comics you want to get, because not every comic is available through the same stores. Like, you can get some stuff through Amazon, I guess. You can also, but I think the majority of people get stuff through Comixology, which has its own app, and it'll play on your tablet or phone. I know, like, Dark Horse doesn't subscribe into the Comixology app. They have their own, so you have to go through their own store and stuff like this. But I think Comixology.
Both of those apps are free, right? I have. Those two, they're both free, right?
Yeah.
Apps. They're the comics, but the
free
apps.
And you can usually get a bunch of free issues to download. Mm-hmm. Ones I've downloaded, I actually have another application that I use on my iPad called, Comic Book Lover, which is...
Oh, I think I have that too.
Which is pretty cool. It's it allows you to go full screen and swipe to switch pages and... you can turn it sideways and look at double page spreads and stuff like that. So it works pretty well. And if you happen to have a comic that you didn't get via Comixology, you can load it in through there from the web or from Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that. So that's pretty cool. But I think Comixology.com is probably the best one. There, everything's pretty much priced the same wherever you go anyway. And a lot of times now, when you buy a physical comic, you can also get a claim code inside for a digital one. So, so you can put your real comic away and then have your digital one there on your tablet or your phone or your computer or whatever it is you want. So,
right. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to both the Flash and the Arrow ones, just because it's show content that's not going to be on TV.
Right, and it's something to get us excited, for a month from that point when the shows start up. So we're still going to have a little time. So those will be out in, what, about a month and a half here.
Ooh, that's closer than I was thinking. Nice.
Yeah. All right, so you want to talk about some casting and character information that we've heard about?
Yes, we do have a few new cast members.
Well, so we were talking about people... What was it? We were reading the sides, I guess, on the last summer special where we were discussing these four characters, and one of them, Daniel, we thought was probably going to be the Blue Beetle.
Right.
And then there was a mysterious villain. And then we've got, but then we had two Chinese characters, a male and a female, that were married. And
Toshi and Akiko.
Right.
Was what they said.
And one of them was going to be his trainer, and the other one was going to be the wife of his trainer, which seemed kind of unfair. Well, we got some casting news about, who is it? That was the Akiko character?
That sounds like it, yep.
Okay, so Devon Aoki, who fans may know from, I know her from Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I can't remember, not Glory. I can't remember. Anyway, she was the Chinese actress from Sin City. She is joining the cast as Katana.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Katana, huh?
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid reading my dad's old Katana comics. No, I don't.
I was going to say, really all I remember her being in is the she was a member of Batman and the Outsiders in the 80s. And interestingly enough, Katana is a Japanese name for a sword. So I think in the comics she's supposed to be Japanese. But, you know, hey, they're kind of...
They're taking some liberties,
changing this around, yeah.
Does she carry a sword or something else? She's like
she does. Yeah, she does. I mean, she carries a katana.
Oh, so. Okay. All right. Well, you know, there you go, I guess.
Just a big stick. I don't know.
At least your name's not like Nunchuck or, you know, Bo
right.
Staff.
Oh, that'd be horrible to be called Nunchuck. And then...
Yes, it would.
So.
Yeah, I didn't know much about Katana. I had to look her up a little bit and see.
Yeah, you know, she's skilled in martial arts and swords and other hand-to-hand combat, I guess.
A good character to draw a lot of good... martial arts action shots in the comics.
Sure, yes. And, of course, for Oliver here, just another person to continue his battle training, right? Because, I mean, he's got all these skills besides archery, so...
That's not what I thought you were going to say. It's a battle trip. Just another good-looking woman for his battle training? Is that...
Well, you know. Maybe they're going to make her really ugly. You know.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Notice on the CW, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I really thought that's not what you were going to say. A little another notch in Oliver's belt. But, no, yeah, I think she is going to help him with his training. And maybe be another notch in his belt.
Right. So, speaking of really ugly actors coming onto the show, we are pleased to announce that Brandon Routh, a.k.a. Superman, is going to be coming on. But he will not be playing Superman, which is interesting. He will.
Okay,
be...
I'm going to give a little silent here and a golf clap for Brandon Routh because I am a fan of Brandon Routh.
Okay. I really enjoyed his work in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes, I have.
Okay. He plays a guy who's vegan and is kind of a prick about it. So one of the ex-boyfriends there. So if you guys haven't seen that movie, you should check that out. It's got a lot of superhero actors playing parts in it. It is based on a comic book, but it's not necessarily a superhero comic book. So
yeah.
Anyway.
And
okay,
he's
so
been
Josh,
a...
who is Brandon?
Now, in Arrow, who is Brandon Routh? Okay. In Arrow, Brandon Routh will be playing a young, tall, dark-haired man named Ray Palmer.
Now, there's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
if you do recognize that name, you will know that Ray Palmer is the Adam.
Not Adam and Eve.
Not Adam and Eve.
No.
I think we had that discussion last time too. You know, the little fig leaf. The Atom, ATOM. Now in the comics, it was originally Al Pratt was the Atom, but eventually it was Ray Palmer, and he has the power to shrink down to very, very, very small size, subatomic levels, as
like
a matter of fact.
Like Ant-Man,
yes. But in the DC universe.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. so, yeah, you know, I don't know. I like that they're using Brandon Routh. Personally, I really enjoyed Superman Returns. There's something that goes completely against the opinion of the internet, but I really enjoyed Superman Returns, and I thought he did a great job.
What?
What are you going to say? I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I was very entertained. I had a lot of things in it I really enjoyed. But I do like Brandon Routh as an actor, and I think that's kind of cool that they're bringing him in to play this part. That, have no idea how they're going to handle it, though.
Right. Is he really, like... So, with the expansion of the DC Universe on TV, with The Flash, because at this point, we know that The Flash and Arrow are going to share universes. We don't know how Constantine and Gotham are going to fit into this. They probably won't, just because they're on other networks. So I can't really imagine that they will. And we'll get into a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. But the fact that they could start doing a little more superpowered kind of stuff on Arrow, because they've already teased that kind of stuff with The Flash, and it sounds like The Flash is really going to go that route, and that there still may be crossovers between the shows, or at least, you know, one of the heroes visiting the other city and stuff like that, you know, like a team-up or just a consult. Hey, I got a couple questions for you. Did you ever experience anything with this guy with, like, a dark archer? It's like, oh, yeah, that guy. I killed him, like, twice. Okay, cool. So, but what's cool about the other cool thing about having Ray Palmer on the show is we've already met his wife on the series. So Moira's in the comic book wife, right? So Moira's defense attorney is Jean Loring, and in the comics, Ray Palmer is married to Jean Loring before she goes all psycho and kills some different characters in the DC universe. So, anyway.
Such a temper. So, I'm interested to see how they handle this, and I thought that, you know, the quote-unquote superpowers that they have done so far with the Mirakuru, mm-hmm. I thought that was handled in a way that seemed reasonable in Arrow universe.
Right.
And the stuff that's going on with Barry and all of his speed powers, because it's a separate show, even though it is connected, because it's a separate show, I think you can give it a little, I don't know, what am I trying to say? You know, you can give it a little artistic license to have those superpowers. So I don't know if they're going to actually just go all superpower out on Arrow or not, but I kind of hope they don't.
You kind of hope they don't. Okay.
I kind of hope they don't. I kind of hope they keep it along the lines of the Mirakuru. But you know what? I've really enjoyed everything that they have done so far in the way they've interpreted the comic book universe, that if they decide to go all shrinky on Brandon, then I think I'll probably enjoy that too.
Now, the problem with them going all out, I guess, would just be the fact that Barry doesn't have Oliver doesn't have superpowers, so he'd have to, you know, combat these people in some plausible way. Otherwise, they just kind of lose all credibility. So, they still may be able to do stuff peripherally. I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah, you know, as they kind of build up to Ray Palmer here, I'm sure you and I will get the chance to kind of discuss the road they're on and see how it goes. But I'm not worried about it.
Well, and it sounds like because Oliver has lost Queen Consolidated here with the whole issue with Sebastian Blood and what's her face? The girl that was running the... Why can't I remember her name? Summer Glau's character.
Oh, okay. I thought if I stalled long enough and pretended I didn't know who you're talking about, I could think of the name. But
anyway, yeah. With just the fact that they kind of took over Queen Consolidated, it sounds like Ray Palmer will be the new CEO or, you know, person in charge at Queen Consolidated. So we may be seeing him more often than not, which would be kind of cool.
Oh, well, that's kind of a good way to do it, and that would fit with the character of Ray Palmer. So, and you know, and we'll have to kind of see, is Isabel Rochev actually, you know, gone, or what's the deal there? What do you think?
I'm pretty sure she's dead. Oh, yeah? Crap. No, I've said that before. No, she's alive.
Now
wait,
I think she'll
be
back.
No, that's stupid because they killed her. They killed her. No.
Okay.
Hmm.
No.
Oh, I don't know, man. Oh, it's so hard to tell who's dead and who's alive on the show.
If she did come back, would she still be in charge?
She could. Oh, maybe she'll be Solomon Grundy. she'll come back to life. So, speaking of dead characters coming back to life, that's kind of what this is, but I don't think so. But we'll definitely discuss it more during the season. But Count Vertigo will be returning, and so Vertigo will be coming to the series. We already had the Count, but he'll be played by a different character. Seth Gable will not be returning because, as you recall, he took the express elevator, well, without the elevator, out the window of the 30th floor of the Queen Consolidated building, straight for the, you know, pavement. Now, we never saw the body, right? So we don't know what's going on there, but Peter Stormare, the Swedish actor, probably best known for his role as a nihilist in The Big Lebowski, or as the Russian cosmonaut in Armageddon, or as one of Steve Buscemi's partner in Fargo. Are any of these ringing a bell?
Oh, those are some of my favorite characters ever.
I loved him with the weasel in The Big Lebowski. He's just great with that. Anyway, he has been cast as Werner Zeitel, who is Count Vertigo's secret identity here, and he will be, replacing the Count as the fallen drug lord, and kind of based more on the newer version of the Vertigo character that's in the current Green Arrow comic series by DC. So, looking forward to that. That should be, first off, high caliber actor. I mean, he's he can chew up scenery like nobody's business. Put him in some situations with Merlin or something like that. You know, a little Mexican soap opera action there with him. could be great.
Yes. I want to see that now. I really want to see that. You mentioned at the beginning kind of bringing back a dead character. I think it'll just be someone else taking over the distribution. The Vertigo business, you know. But I suppose they'll probably say, you know, there's a new Count or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it works just fine. So there's still a Vertigo. It's just another guy.
And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I think Peter Stormare has an accent, so I assume he'll probably be using, you know, the accent that we hear of him in different movies, like Minority Report or something like that, where he's the
doctor. Know that I've ever actually heard him talk in his real voice. I mean, all I've ever heard him talk is as a character in a movie, so I have no idea what he sounds like. It'll be a shock, like the first time I heard the guy that plays Rick from Walking Dead.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, Andrew Lincoln.
Yes.
He's British. Who
knew?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, Stephen Amell, I'm pretty sure he's American, but he could be Canadian. I don't know.
He does that American accent really well, man. He must have been trained.
Good
American accent trainers from Canada.
they can pretend to be Americans like nobody's business. It's they just kind of walk over the border and stuff.
It's a problem. We have to address this.
The way I always spot them is I always see if they want to have donuts, and if they mention Timbits, then boom, I know right there that that's probably a dead giveaway right there.
You call them right out, huh?
Yep.
Exactly. All right.
Canadian!
All right. Well, apart from our Canadian immigration problem.
Yeah.
Three very dynamic characters, at least potentially dynamic characters, that they've been kind of teasing us with a little bit at a time. So we'll see. Could just be the first, you know, third of the season.
That could even just be the first, like, two or three episodes, man. I mean, look at what they gave us last year just in terms – I should compile that for our next show. But, you know, we kept getting teased with stuff. I mean, you know, we finally got built up to the Suicide Squad at the end of last season and everything. But, I mean, really, the Atom, it's like, okay, that's great. And, you know, they just – they kind of keep teasing these characters that we're going to see. And not necessarily the superhero side of them. You know, they'll say that – you know, John Jones is coming on the show, and you're like, oh, my God, it's Martian Manhunter. It's like, well, it's not really Martian Manhunter. I mean, it could be, but, you know, it's they just keep they tease these alter egos, I guess, and we get to see if the person is already the superhero or if we're going to get an origin story or something like that. So very exciting. Something else that's really exciting here is Stephen Amell and his Prayers for Sophie auctions that he's working on.
Yeah.
You've been keeping track of this on Facebook, Josh. Why don't you give us a little rundown on that?
Well, I don't know where this originated because I think he has done this in the not too distant past, He raises some money for some charities, and in this case, it's a charity called Prayers for Sophie. And what he's done is he had some statues, some Oliver Queen Arrow statues, not just Green Arrow, but it was actually, you know, him from the show. And he signed them, you know, and then I think the first time he did this, he put them on eBay to raise some money. He raised a lot of money. You know, people bid on him and stuff like this. This time he's doing it a little differently. He's doing an auction – I mean, excuse me, a raffle. So anybody in the world can be involved, and it can raise a lot of money, and you get the chance to win these. Well, when he came into his trailer the other day in between, you know, filming – DC Comics, and I think Jeff Johns was involved, I think he said, donated 6 more Arrow statues. And these are nice statues. I think they're like Gentle Giant statues or something like that. And, real fancy, you know, but he's going to sign the statue and the box, and for a chance for you to raffle, you can, help to raise money for this little girl named Sophie who has, an optic pathway, glioma brain tumor.
Mm.
And I don't know exactly what that is, but you know, it sounds bad no matter what. Right now, you can get on Stephen Amell's Facebook page, to learn more about this. And there's a link that goes to youcaring.com. And I imagine you could go to youcaring.com and search for Prayers for Sophie. That's the name of the charity. Prayers for Sophie. So right now when we're recording, they're trying to raise $150,000 and they've raised $83,991.
Wow. So over halfway there.
Yeah, yeah. And if I remember right, you know, I'm not even sure he gave it the exact day. At the last day you could, buy some raffle opportunity for these statues. But it's not long. So, you know, as you're listening to this show, make sure you get in there right away and try to make the bid or whatever you call a raffle payment.
right. Purchase. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Buying some
right.
tickets.
And it's for a great cause. And he was so excited that we're so excited to help support this. So, you know, I really encourage you to, this helps everybody. It helps you because you get a cool chance to get something really, really cool and a very rare item. And you're, no matter what, even if you don't get that, you're helping a little kid and a family. So
that's great. Yeah. He's a giver. He really gives back to the community and to, you know, and to a larger community as well. And he's definitely using his, notoriety from the show in extremely, extremely positive ways, which I cannot fault him for. That is really awesome.
Yeah. I like when celebrities are very sincere and do things like that. So
yeah, that's great. I also wanted to point out that, I will be signing, some Green Arrow action figures that I picked up at Target and auctioning them. It's going to be a raffle for cars for Josh. And, you know, so we're trying to raise money to get Josh a new car. Yeah, you know.
You're so nice.
Happy birthday.
Well, I'll have to bid on that.
You don't have to. I'll give you a raffle ticket. It's okay. You don't have to buy one.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Yeah. Not a problem. Oh, wait. That's not going to work. Oh, well. Anyway, we'll work it out.
All right.
Okay. Also in Stephen Amell news, we find out that he will not be playing Green Arrow in Batman v Superman Justice Gets Funky, or whatever the subtitle is now.
Electric Justice Lou? Electric, oh yeah, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
What, the, it's, yeah, I know, it's, I was a little disappointed.
I cannot say that I had high hopes for that. I mean.
Nah, me neither.
It seemed like a long shot, I guess, you know, that they would cast the same actor from the TV show in the movie. It's like, you know, there's different schedules, you know, they'd have to work around his TV schedule to get him in there. Now, granted, if it was just like a cameo or something like that, but we got some information. You said you just got this on your Facebook page tonight as we're recording, but I guess Jeff Johns posted in a article on comicbook.com that, or sorry, comicbook.com posted something saying that according to a TV Guide tweet, okay, so this is, you know, kind of getting down in there. Jeff Johns said that at the Television Critics Association semi-annual press tour session, DC is wanting to keep its film and TV universes separate. The reason being is that DC doesn't want TV writers to have to try to fit shows into the movies because it's hard. So, you know, I understand, but that's stupid.
That's not a good reason. I mean, if you're not going to do it, just say no. We're not going to do it. We're just choosing to keep them separate. Don't make
excuses.
We're
going excuses. A different way. Yeah.
Don't come on. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to connect them. You know what? You need a Green Arrow for Justice League. Use Stephen Amell as Green Arrow. Why does it have to do anything with any episode of the show? It doesn't. It doesn't have to. It's fine. You know, is that to say that no one else could play Green Arrow well? No. I think there probably could be other people, but you have somebody that's established that's doing a great job and it works well, and so you could do that well. So if this is the case right now, then don't put Green Arrow in the movie. The character, I mean.
Yeah.
Just leave him out for now. Maybe you could add him in later.
Well, I mean, especially in this movie, it sounds like, I mean, depending on what rumor you hear, they've already got too many characters in the film as
it does
is.
Sound like.
Yeah.
Superman v. Batman plus Wonder Woman
and
in addition to Aquaman.
Cyborg. And continue on with whoever, yeah.
It's so. Like they're not watching the Avengers and Marvel movies. It's like,
well,
it's like they
if they do what is successful for them, then everyone's going to go, oh, well, they're just copying what they're doing. It's like, that's stupid. So they've got to do something else that is, you know, you know, it's like, well, I'm not copying you. It's like, okay, but what you're doing is stupid. You know, I mean, it's just you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So I don't know.
Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, there could still be a lot of great things come from all this and from the movies, and they don't have to connect them. Mm-hmm. It just seems strange to me that they have these rich resources of Arrow and the Flash, and you know, soon to be some others. I don't know. Just why not use that?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't answer that one. So.
All right. Well, anyway, I won't kind of harp on about it, but I do still think it's silly.
Well, since the movie and the TV universe won't cross over, but the Flash universe is part of the Green Arrow universe, or part of the Arrow universe, and those definitely will cross over, as we've been teased with. This, I just saw this news go up here, actually, Josh. I'm gonna add this in here. It says that Episode 8 of both shows of Arrow and the Flash are going to be a 2-hour crossover event. So,
really?
According to them, this would put it around the end of November or beginning of December. I'm guessing it's probably beginning of December because the end of November there would be the would be like Thanksgiving, and they probably would not be showing it then. So,
huh?
And they've
that's exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So, and they're also saying that Felicity is going to appear on an episode of The Flash as well. So,
I'm not surprised about that. I'm surprised, actually. They're just saying one.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, well, cool.
That is pretty cool.
At least we get some crossovers. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, and then we've got, do you want to get into a little bit of synopsis for the beginning of season three here? You want to talk about some of the spoilery information that we may or may not have heard about that?
Okay. All right. So, first, this is probably the most spoilery part of the show. So if you really want to avoid some beginning of the season spoilers, this is the time to kind of skip over for the next few minutes. So, all right. So,
okay. Have they left?
Hold on, that one guy. He's walking slow.
Okay.
He hurt his foot.
It's like at the World Cup. It's like, all right, you're up ahead. You know, it's just like dawdle off the field and everything like that. So.
All right. So what we have over on – I saw this on Screen Rant, but I guess it was posted on Zap2It, which they got their information from the CW, they said. They gave a synopsis – for season three of Arrow, and this sounds like especially the first episode. So I think I'll just read it. Think that's good?
Yep, that's
okay.
Good.
All right. Let's see. In the aftermath of this victory, wait, which victory are they talking about?
I guess that would be over the Deathstrokes.
Okay, there must have been something before that sentence. Okay, in the aftermath of this victory, season three opens with Arrow, now a hero to the citizens of Starling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So they must have known how he saved them, I suppose, huh? You think they reported on that? Was there, like, journalists and stuff out there, like, risking their lives to show him saving the city?
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe Linda Park was out there. The wrong show. All right. Crime is down. People feel safer. Oh, jeez. As soon as you say that, you know something's going to go wrong.
Ah, jeez.
People feel safer. And then, and Captain Lance even calls off the anti-vigilante task force. Ooh.
Captain.
There's a couple spoilers there. First of all, Lance is alive. And second, he got a big hole in the chest promotion. Let's see. Basking in his success.
He also got a haircut from what I have heard. He's going to be sporting your do.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Oh. Well, he's a very wise, follically challenged man. So, all right. Basking in his success, Oliver believes he can finally have a private life and ask Felicity out on a date. This sounds like a fortune cookie. Like, everything's going to go wrong after after you read this.
Hey, everything's cool now. We should go out on a date. What could go wrong?
I can't see Oliver basking. I think that's just a description of the show,
but
he doesn't seem like someone who would
not a basker.
Bask, yeah. But the second Oliver takes his eye off the ball, a deadly villain reappears in Starling, forcing Oliver to realize that he can never be Oliver Queen, not as long as the city needs the Arrow.
Dun dun.
Hmm. So,
all right.
You know, I really don't think has that much information in it, and I don't feel like it has anything in it that would ruin your enjoyment of the first part of the season.
Okay, but I'm going to ruin the enjoyment for the first part of the season because we know the names of the first three episodes for season
all right.
three. Here.
All right, that's okay.
All right,
that's
so okay. The first episode will be titled The Calm, as in after the storm, I guess. Meaning season two.
Or before.
Oh, it could be The Calm Before the Storm, too, I guess, right? Second episode is going to be called Sarah, which I'm sure they're talking about an entirely different Sarah, right? I mean, because she took off on that Nordic Pearl, you know, never to come back again.
You think it's a different Sarah, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a new character called Oliver also.
Oh, okay.
But different Oliver.
Yeah, well, this Sarah is spelled without an H.
Okay,
Or with an H, depending on how the Sarah on the show spells her name.
Interesting. All right, Sarah doesn't tell me too much. I'm a little worried about our title connections that we do in each episode of Green Justice.
Yeah.
The calm? I got that. I got that. I think we're okay.
Good.
But
Sarah? Not so much. Yeah. And then third episode leaked, revealed, whatever. It's called Corto Maltese, which fans of the DC Universe will know that is a Central or South American island country / state, something like that, where lots of wars take place. It's a fill-in for, like, Panama, Nicaragua, Falkland Islands, and stuff like that. I think it made its first appearance in The Dark Knight Returns, the Frank Miller comic, and it was even mentioned at one point in the original Batman film. Well, not the original Batman film, but the 1990s Batman film with Michael Keaton. So
that was where Vicki Vale took pictures of Corto Maltese.
That is correct.
I just happened to watch that the other day. So,
ding, ding, ding. My kids still don't want to watch that. I don't know why. They're like, I heard it's stupid. I'm like, I heard you're stupid. And then it just evolved from there. You know,
My girls weren't impressed, but they did like it more than Man of Steel.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep.
That would be a whole big
not saying much right there. Sorry.
Well, you know. Anyway, they're young. So, yeesh. Okay. So, Corto Maltese. You know, we got potentially somebody, a villain, maybe coming from there or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think the new count would come from Corto Maltese, do you?
No, he would come from Latveria, not Latveria. He would come from the place where the Geoforce dude comes from.
The European country. I already closed that. So okay.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't think that would be where the new count would come from. Okay. So we have some stuff to speculate about. It's more like, it's not so much a spoiler as like a fun little teaser.
Oh, yeah. There's...
Okay.
Everybody start doing your research on Wikipedia. Go.
Yes. But we completely skipped over something we haven't mentioned in that whole synopsis that I read.
What did we skip?
Ignored it. Oliver's asking Felicity out on a date.
Yeah, well, that's only going to last for, like, the first 30 minutes of the first episode.
Yeah, but they're going for it. Wow.
And they're going to almost kiss and then not. No, I don't know. I mean, shippers, get your tickets ready because this may happen. But you know, they can't. No, they can't do it. It'll be like moonlighting, and then it just went downhill from there. As soon as they hook up.
No. No, yeah, we don't want to go the moonlighting route, and we also don't want Bruce Willis on Arrow. So that's – yeah, well, they can't hook up. They've got to be good partners. They've got to have that sexual tension. You know, that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons that that relationship is so cool.
Well, I think he'll see Laurel has started to, you know, shape back up again. And with Sarah being gone, maybe. Is she gone? Really? I don't know. It looks like she's coming back episode two. You know, we'll see Oliver start to, Laurel's not looking too bad now that she's sobered up.
So. Oh, nice. Okay, so you ask Felicity out on a date, but then you're like, oh, hey, Laurel's looking better. That's nice. Okay, come on now.
Hey.
Don't be begging my
Felicity. Don't hate
Felicity
the play, here. Hate the game. You know, that's what I'm saying. Hey, We're going long again tonight for what, you know, we just wanted to have a little summer show to talk about. But you want to talk about a couple things that tease Flash a little bit? And I think we may have to come back to our discussion topics next show, unless they have a ton of news again.
That's right.
But you want to talk a little Flash here before we have to go?
Let's do that. And we'll save the discussion topics. It'll be a little closer to the start of the season anyway that way. So
I think
it'll kind of refresh our memory. So, all right. So a couple little Flash tidbits there that we want to share. First of all, the premiere of The Flash will be on Tuesday, October 7th. And as you said before, that's the day before the Arrow season premiere. You know, set your DVRs to record it now, because that You know, now I don't think I don't have to reset my DVR for Arrow. That should still come back on, right? I'll double check that, but I think that's good. But if you don't record the Flash, you got to get that going. and we got news of a new character in Flash, which is also a DC Universe comic book hero.
Okay.
All right. And has a connection to our good buddy Oliver. Robbie Amell was out of work for a couple days.
Yeah, exactly. Between the Tomorrow People ending and then getting picked up here.
Yeah, so they've hired Robbie Amell, Steven's cousin, to be on the Flash, to play Firestorm.
Well, technically, if I may be nitpicky here.
All right.
He will actually be playing one half of Firestorm, which is Ronnie Raymond, who is the college student that, when a accident happens in the laboratory, college student Ronnie Raymond is fused with Martin Stein, Professor Martin Stein, into Firestorm, the nuclear man. And when I explained who this person, the superhero, was to my wife, she goes, "Well, that's a pretty stupid guy." And I'm like, "Well, it's a comic book thing." I go, "He uses his nuclear powers, and then he can like turn stuff like into fire and water and move molecules around and stuff." And she's like, "That's not how that works." I'm like, "It's a comic book." So,
well, real quick, my history with Firestorm. Not my history, but just my feelings.
I thought we weren't going to talk about that, man. I'm sorry.
Hey, know what? It's out there. This is 2014. You can share this.
Okay,
things.
All right.
It's
all right. Your life.
When I was younger and really deep into the comics when I was. I shouldn't have started that out with when I was younger, should I? In college.
You were just experimenting with the comics. I understand. It happens to everybody, Josh.
I really dug Firestorm. I really thought he was a cool looking character. I really liked the costume. I liked the idea of, you know, flaming hair. I said flaming. Oh, but jeez, this
is
conversation
that what happened?
Is going downhill. But
is that where all the hair went?
Yes. So I dressed up as Firestorm one night. Anyway, so but Firestorm's costume there was one of those I don't know, I guess notorious costumes that didn't age well. It's very 80s, early 90s ish. I think it's changed a couple times since then, maybe, but had big old shoulder pads and I don't know. But I always liked the idea of the character. But I don't know, you think they'll fuse him with some guy and have him.
In the same place that I found that information about the crossover between Flash and Arrow, TV Guide is reporting that besides Robbie Amell being cast, Greg Berlanti, one of the producers, announced the other half, Martin Stein, will later be introduced. The producers are aiming high up on the DC roster. Between Arrow and Flash, we'll have half the Justice League on our two shows this year.
Interesting.
Plus, in that same article, they also announced that Mr. Snart will be showing up as Captain Cold has been cast. Wentworth Miller from Prison Break is going to be playing the notorious Captain Cold.
Wow.
So,
this is going to be the coolest show ever! I really like Captain Cold.
If Captain Cold's here now, that means that Digger, a.k.a. Captain Boomerang, can't be too far behind.
Huh. Well,
that's total speculation on my part. But, I mean, okay, the reason I say that, I look at it this way. They went and did the Suicide Squad. Like, that is pretty far out there.
That's true.
Captain Cold, Captain Boomerang, Gorilla Grodd. They're all part of Flash's Rogues Gallery. And also, I think, Minuteman? Is that Minuteman? I can't remember who the other guy is. But, you know, there's a core group of villains that are identified with the Flash. And I think, you know, this is like a weather wizard, which we've seen teased in a guy that can control the weather in the Flash teasers and stuff like that. So, you know, we've got that coming. They seem to be big fans of the comics, so I think that is where they're going. I think they know fans want to see certain types of characters, and I think we'll get those guys in the first season here at some point. So,
excellent.
Very much looking forward to that. So, you sure we still don't have time to do like a Flash podcast?
You know what? I'm very excited about Flash, so I'm game to rearrange my schedule.
I don't know, man. It'd be tight. We'll have to.
Yeah.
We'll have to see. We need to. We should figure it out pretty soon because October 7th is coming up really fast.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. No pun intended. So, all right. Wow, that's. I didn't really think we had that much news, but was a lot of stuff going on our current episode of Green Justice here, our summer special, as it were.
That's right.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and hey, if you like this episode, we've got plenty more. We had another earlier summer special, and last summer we had some summer specials, too. You should check those out because we had some really good information about comics and history of Green Arrow and talked about the DVDs and stuff. So check those out. And then make sure you leave some feedback for us on iTunes. That's a great way to let people know about us. Also, you can contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can get on our Twitter feed. I've been trying to put the latest stories up there when I can, at Green Justice Pod, and also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And as far as Facebook goes, we've been slacking on getting people to like us there, but we are so close to 100 likes. We'd really like to get to 100 likes by the beginning of season 3 here. So a couple months away, as we record this right now, we're at 91 likes. That means 9 people out there, 9 of you that listen to this show that haven't liked us on Facebook, go over, like us. We're posting all sorts of cool stuff. Josh posts things that Stephen Amell puts on his page, but like the prayers for Sophie. There's some different little bits of art that he puts up there. We put sneak peeks at the comic book characters. So in case you don't know who Katana is, we've got like artwork over there showing who that is, and you know, just fun stuff like that that we try to do over the week while we're thinking about the show and everything like that.
And it's a good place you can participate, too.
Right? And yeah, and it's a great place for you to give feedback to us about what you like about the show and to discuss the episodes and the characters with other people that are like-minded as well. It's a good hangout. And if you like this show, you can also check out the other show that Josh and I do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which you can find right here on the same website, randomchatter.com. We did a summer special, our first one of those, and we're probably going to have another one coming up here probably later this month or next month, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell all your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.